Hey, good morning, Agape. How are you doing this morning? It is great to be with you. excited to be with you today and to be able to share this message with you. I am in Ayutthaya. It's a province just north of Bangkok, and here with 90 people from America on a missions trip. We're going to be doing outreaches this week. We are going into, I think it's 110 different schools, doing a cultural exchange, sharing the gospel. And then having night festivals. By the time you watch this, it would have just ended. That week will have just ended. So we so appreciate your prayers. I know that I shared about this last time that this was coming up. And so believing for good things to happen. And so, yeah, so here in a different location, different spot, but really excited about this message. So let's pray and then we'll get into it. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be able to share your word, Father. We just take a moment to just to quiet our mind. Lord, bring our attention to you, to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that your words would speak to us. Lord, that your words would continue to be explained and expounded upon by the Holy Spirit as we go through this week. And we pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, happy Father's Day to all you fathers. It is Father's Day. I'm a father, so it's happy Father's Day to me too. Even though it's not Father's Day in Thailand, it is something that I'll probably be telling my boys that they need to be celebrating me. But I want to share a message to the fathers. Also, last month was Mother's Day, so I get both Mother's and Father's Day this year, which is fun. And definitely enjoy that. But this would be hopefully a message for all of us, but fathers for you as well. If you're a father, it means that you have kids. And you know, for the most part, I see things within our society. I see things, you know, sometimes on social media, and it seems like a lot of times people take a very small minority of people and then try to label the whole group as being that way. And I say that to say this. I believe that the majority of fathers, and fathers, you can agree with me, or let me know if you agree with me. I can't see you, but let the congregation know that you agree with me. You know, fathers, for the most part, love their kids and will do anything for their kids. And we need to honor that and respect you for that, praise you for that. It is not easy. You know, I see. And I know from experience, and it's not that mothers don't work hard. It's just we all do as parents, but you know, if we look at it from more of a traditional space, fathers are out there making sure that they're providing for their kids and for their families. So many verses in the Bible that talks about how if you're not providing for your family, then you're not doing well. You're not doing right according to God's principles, and so. Men love their kids, men love their wives, they love their family. And so, if that's the case, then you're gonna wanna see your kids do well and you're gonna wanna be a good father, right? That just goes without saying. And we can't allow, not that we can't allow a few people who maybe they just don't have any interest in being a good dad, maybe they don't have any interest in growing. That I think is a really small majority, and the majority of fathers just want to take care of their kids and their family. And so we want to honor you today. You're important. Your family can't go without you. Like, we know it. The same goes for mothers, but today's Father's Day. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about being a father. One thing that I've noticed with my kids is that as a father, you're a role model, and you have to be a role model. And whether you want to be a role model or not, you are. And that's, you know, that's where you find those few people that maybe aren't interested in being a dad. And guess what? They raise kids who aren't interested in being dads because they model, or they do what they saw modeled for them. And so if we're going to be good fathers, we have to know a few things about what God says to us. We have to know a few things about love. And we have to know a little bit about being able to follow him, follow Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, "Imitate me as I follow Christ." And Fathers, here's one thing that I've learned. Our kids are imitating us, whether we realize it or not. My oldest is 15 now, and I see things in him, his mannerisms, his sense of humor, his jokes, the way he talks with his hands, the way he explains things, the way he tells stories. I watch that and I think, oh my gosh, he's just like me. And so, my own self as a father, I try to make sure that I'm doing the best that I can to follow a few principles so that I can raise the best sons or daughters so they can be great mothers and fathers in the future. And so in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, we see that there's verses in there, it talks about the family. But also in verse 4, it says, and you fathers, which this is being spoken to the fathers, right? It says, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. There's two things there. The last part says to bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord, meaning teach your kids about God. Teach your kids spiritual principles. Fathers, this is your role. Train up your kids to be godly young men and godly young women. It is your job. It is your role to do it with your wife, with your spouse, with mom. But you also have a responsibility. You can't just not do that because that's not the way it works. Fathers, you are to train up your children and train them up in the admonition of the Lord. It's one thing that's said in this verse. This is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. In the first part, it says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. This one is something that hits hard for me. I like the other verse in Ephesians chapter 6 where it says, children, obey your parents. Who as a parent doesn't like that verse, right? But this one always struck to me a little bit interesting because I thought, man, what does it mean? Like, I'm not gonna prod my kids on to being angry or for them to experience wrath. Because to me that means punishment from somebody above them, which would be me or the Lord. Like, I don't want to provoke them. I want to train them, right? And so in training our kids, we absolutely, and fathers, I don't know where you're at with your role, whether your kids are young, whether they're still in the house, whether they're out of the house, you're still their father. You're always going to be their father. You always need to be ready to be training and And you always need to be ready to be bringing them up in the training and admonition of the Lord, no matter how old they are. But in order to do that, we definitely, most definitely need the trust, need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need to trust the Holy Spirit because when we're in a relationship with our kids and we want good relationship with our kids and we want our kids to love us and to honor us, we also have to love and to honor them. Sometimes the way that we're supposed to deal with our kids or train our kids, sometimes the way that we're supposed to bring them up is gonna change, it's gonna modify, it's gonna adjust. And so we need the leading of the Holy Spirit to be able to tell us and lead us and guide us in how we're supposed to be bringing up our kids. A 5-year-old is different from a 9-year-old, is different from a 15-year-old, is different from a 40-year-old child, right? And so we want our kids to be perfect. Is anybody else like me? Excuse me. I want my kids to be perfect. I want them to always do the exact thing at the exact time. I don't want to have to tell Logan, my oldest son, to have to always be telling him, respect your brother, don't yell at your brother, don't get down on your brother, don't always correct your brother. Unfortunately, I realized, and we'll talk about this later on in the sermon, but I realized that if Logan's doing that to Landon, a lot of times it's because dad's doing it to Logan. And they pass on what we do and they reflect what we do. And so being a role model and being able to say to them, imitate me as I imitate Christ, we kind of have to be on our game. We kind of have to be ready. We can't just go read the Bible to them before they go to bed and then be angry and upset and frustrated the rest of the time that they're around us when we get home from work, even though we're tired. That's no excuse. My son says, oh, but dad, I'm tired. I say, that's not an excuse. You still got to be respectful to your brother, vice versa. And then I think to myself, how many nights do I go to sleep? And I think, oh, you know, but I was tired, so I just was a little bit short with the kids. I can't use that excuse if they're not allowed to use that excuse. And it's tough. It's tough being a parent, it's tough being a father, a mother. But we have help. You know, so many times I find in the church, we want a blanket answer of how we're supposed to do things. We want a book that tells us, you know, step 1 through 5. And if you do those steps, your kids are going to be amazing. But that's not how parenting works. That's not how our relationship with God works. That's not how our relationship with our kids works. That's not how our relationships at work work. You know, I'm reminded of the verse where Jesus said to his disciples, he said that, you know, he spoke to a lot of them outside in parables. And he said to his disciples, he says, I speak to them in parables. I speak to them according to what they are able to hear. And our kids are growing and they're changing. And sometimes they're not ready to hear some things. Sometimes they are. How do we know when we're supposed to do that? And we're going to use Moses as an example today. I know he's not like a real, I mean, maybe some people think of him as a father figure. But he was a leader, and when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt, we see in there's two accounts when the children of Israel were wandering in the desert and they didn't have water. And God tells Moses in Exodus chapter 16, verse 6, he told Moses to strike the rock. And then the water came from the rock. And it was a miracle. And the children of Israel, they drank and they were full. And that was awesome. In Numbers chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, we see that they have they don't have water again, and then Moses is in the same situation, and he sees a rock, and God was going to have water come from the rock. But this time, God was telling Moses to speak to the rock. And what did Moses do? He went and he hit the rock. And I think that this is a very good example for us and how our kids mature. You know, when my kids were younger, if they did something they wouldn't do, I could slap them on the wrists. You know, when they were just learn how to walk, it's like, no, you don't want to touch that. You know, a little tap on the wrist to teach them that's not good. And the older they get, the more we need to transition into speaking. Maybe there are some people that spank their 20-year-olds. I don't know, but we need to be able to teach them how to be able to speak, how to be able to understand, how to be able to respect, how to be able to take what's said to them and process it and integrate it into their lives. sometimes we need to be speaking. Sometimes we need to have more strong discipline. Sometimes, you know, what I'm trying to say is we need to have the Holy Spirit that's always leading us and guiding us to do the right thing in that situation. There have been times when I've let things go with my kids. Things that my parents would have never let go. And there might be some times that was wrong to do, because I'm not perfect. I know there are surely sometimes, I'm guaranteed, I know for sure that there are times when that was the right thing to do. Because later on that night, my son came and apologized for the thing that he did. I want to correct it right then. Sometimes I need space to think, to learn, to mature, and then they come back and they apologize, or we talk about it later, something comes up later. One of the best teaching things, dads, you gotta learn how to be patient. You gotta learn how to be patient with your kids. I remember one time, it was a couple months ago, Landon, he said something, and I was like, oh man, no, I need to correct that. It wasn't like we were in an argument, or it wasn't like he wasn't being obedient, it wasn't something like behaviorally, it was just like, oh, that attitude I don't really like. I wanna address it. I wanna correct it, but I didn't feel like it was right in that time to do that, so I didn't. And I believe it was the leading of the Holy Spirit. We need the leading of the Holy Spirit, fathers. Later that night, he's telling me about a similar situation about how someone was treating him that day, and I stopped and I said, "So, but that's kind of the way you were treating me, right?" And he looked at me like, "Oh." Oh yeah, now I get it. Now I understand why you were upset with me earlier for what I did. And that also gives us insight to parents. Sometimes the things that come to us from our kids are things that they received during the day when they're at school and they're outside of our authority and our control. I mean, spiritually, they're always under our authority. Amen. Be praying for your kids. You have that authority. But sometimes that reveals what they're experiencing. We need to be sensitive to that and be listening to the Holy Spirit. So here's the deal. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm going to read verse 18 first, because this is how we're supposed to be following Christ, and this is how our kids are going to be following us. This is how we're going to imitate him, and how our kids are going to then turn around and imitate us. And there's 6 verses. Let's read all 6 of those verses, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 through 18. It says, "Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So let's go through this in order. There's three things, three main keys, three main takeaways that I find in here. The first part talks about, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Fathers, you need to be bold in how you speak with your kids. You need to be bold and brave to be open and honest with your kids. And I talk to my kids. I mean, if I'm having a bad day, I tell them. And that does not excuse me from being irritated or frustrated or short-tempered with them. It doesn't excuse me, but I can tell them, hey, this is what's going on. And I'm gonna tell you, Logan and Landon, I'm gonna tell you, it's kind of a rough day. I'm kind of stressed. And so that affects how I am. And I'm trying to, I'm doing what I know how to do to not be stressed or to not be worried or to not be, you know. A lot of times that turns into a very good conversation that you can have with your kids. Boldness of speech. Don't be afraid to be open and to speak the things that's in your heart to your kids. I told them, there are some days I'm like, man, I'm just worried. I've been worried the past couple of days. Like, what are you worried about? I'm like, honestly, I'm worried about you. I'm worried that you're you know, everything's going good in school. I'm worried that your friends are good people for you to be hanging around. I'm worried about your development and your maturity. I'm worried. And then, I mean, sometimes my kids are like, you're worried about us? Like, I think kids need to know that we care for them. We know that. And they, if they were asked, they would probably know that. But if we asked your kids, when was the last time that you told them that you were worried about them? And I don't mean worried like, you know, well, I mean, sometimes it is worried like fretting, but concerned and wanting to make sure that they're going to be okay. When was the last time that you told them that? Have boldness of speech in those things and in an explanation of why. I find that it's very, there's so many ways that we can teach our kids. And I see things that I don't want in my kids. And I use it as, not when I don't, when I see it in other people, whether it's in a TV show, you know what? Sometimes we pause Netflix and we go, you know what? You see that right there, boys? You know what is that? And then we talk about it. And I have to be honest with them. Man, sometimes I'm like that. And then guess what? They're like, yeah, I'm like that too sometimes, Dad. I'm sorry. And it really brings a good, harmonious relationship with my kids. And so don't be afraid to have boldness of speech. Don't be afraid to talk about why things are the way that they are. I tell my kids, I told Logan, I'm starting to tell Landon this now. If you want freedom, you got to do two things. You got to be respectful and responsible. And so I tell that you want to go out with your friends until 9, 10 o'clock at night, not a problem. You can do whatever you want to. And that's the second point that I'm getting ahead of myself with. But you got to be respectful and you got to be responsible. Later on, in this passage of scripture, it talks about how the veil has been taken away. Verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's the second thing that we need to take away from this passage of scriptures. There needs to be liberty. Now you might think, well, you're going to allow your 10-year-old son to do whatever he wants? No, I'm not going to allow him to. But I will allow him to do whatever he wants according to what's age appropriate, but that is all based on his level of respect and responsibility. So as a 10-year-old, you know, if he wants to go to his friend's house and play after school, yeah, you can do whatever you want. And that will, you know, the faster you mature, the faster and more freedoms that you'll get. The more I can trust you, the more freedoms that you'll get. But listen, there is liberty, there is freedom. You don't have to be respectful if you don't want to. You don't have to be responsible if you don't want to, but you won't get freedoms. You won't grow in those freedoms. So I'm not an expert at being a parent. I'm not an expert. I tell my kids, it's okay for you to be mad. It's not okay for that anger to lead to putting somebody else down or having hurtful words, but it's okay if you get mad. We will get mad in life, but we got to learn how to manage that anger or that sadness. Listen, there's so much freedom. We have that freedom with God. We take that freedom with God. Therefore, we need to be giving it to our sons and to our daughters as well. You can do whatever you want. You can be as successful as you want to. Someday, they're not going to be under our house, parents. They're not going to be under our authority in the house. And they're going to do whatever they want to, and we can't stop it. In fact, with my 15-year-old, I'm realizing he can do whatever he wants to. Like, am I physically going to go pick him up at his friend's house and, you know, drag him into the car and lock the, I mean, maybe, but I thank God we don't have to do that. But, you know, we can only force so much as I get older. And that's where we have to learn, maybe at a younger age, how to reason and communicate with them. But there's liberty. You know, I'm careful with the things that I put on them as restrictions, because it's got to be according to where they're at. Jesus spoke to the crowds according to how they were able to hear, according to what they were able to hear. And we need to be putting that same type of consideration with our kids. The last thing that we see in this verse is vision. The veil's been torn away, right? And when the veil's been torn away and we can see, we have, what this verse is talking about is as we, verse 18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, as we are looking at God, when we're looking at his image, with unveiled face, we're beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We're being transformed into the same image that we're looking at. So our job as Christians is to be looking at him, at his image, at his glory. And as we do that, we are being transformed to be more like him. This is what Paul means when he says, imitate me as I follow Christ. We see in the Old Testament when the serpents came into the camp, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, God told Moses to take a serpent and put it up on the stick. And it says in there that as they focused on that, which was a representation of Christ, as they focused on that, they were protected, and even those that were bitten didn't get hurt. This is the way that we're supposed to be living our life. We're supposed to have our focus on him. In Hebrews it says, you know, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We are to be looking on to Jesus. We're to be looking at God's glory. We're to be reading the word. We're to be worshiping God. And as we're doing that, we're becoming more like him. But a lot of times we don't do that as parents, and then our kids don't do that. Our kids are a reflection of what they see. I wish it weren't true, but I have seen time after time when I have been tired, maybe stressed, a little bit irritable, my kids act the same way. And I mean, maybe they think I'm like got a, you know, two personalities or something. I've literally gone into the kitchen for 5 minutes, calmed myself down and said, you know what? They're reflecting me. Walk into the living room, happy, high energy, and say the exact same thing. Of course, it doesn't come out condescending. It doesn't come out like I'm telling them what to do. And they respond differently. It is amazing how people respond to the way that they're being talked to or how they're being dealt with. And so just like we turn into what we see with God, they are turning into what they see when they look at us, because we're their parents, we're their role models, we're the example for them. And so if you want your kids to act a certain way, you need to act a certain way. If you want your kids coming home from school in a good mood, happy, you know, man, I'm tired. There's nothing wrong with being tired. Bit my tongue. There's nothing wrong with being tired. But that doesn't mean I have to be grouchy, you know? And if we start modeling that, our kids are going to model that as well. You would be surprised. Probably not surprised, because you probably see it in yourself with your parents, but we do the things that we saw our parents do, and our kids are coming up in that way. And so we need to make sure that we give them a good example and a good role model for them to look at. And so in Numbers, we already talked about that. Sorry. They are following you as you follow Christ. Number one, give them freedom. Freedom to make mistakes. Freedom to make the wrong decision. It's hard, but do it. Give them an open door to you. And I'm asking you, have the bravery and the boldness to speak honestly and clearly with them. You'll be surprised how that will have a positive impact on your relationship. And if you want your kids to change their behavior, you focus on your behavior and less on telling them what to do. I was in a market last night, and if I can find a chance to do a video, I'll do a quick video, because I think we still have a little bit of time. You're walking through a busy market. There's so many distractions. Dads, I know it. There's so many distractions. And sometimes people don't realize how many distractions there are. They don't realize we're trying to fix the car, trying to pay bills, we're trying to get to our job on time so we can have money to pay the bills, but we're not feeling well, so we need to go to get some medicine. And there's so much stuff that's consuming us. And then we're tired, and so we log on to social media and we zone out that way. We numb ourselves that way. We medicate ourselves that way. I get it. It's like being in that market, walking down the market, and there's people, and there's loud noises, there's bright lights, there's this food, there's that food, there's someone selling that. It's just a little bit chaotic. That's what life can be like. But when we have that, like the serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness, you know, when we have that point of focus, it keeps us grounded. You know, lighthouses are like that. Lighthouses were there designed so that they can see land, they can keep going towards that. That's one of the purposes. They can know where they're supposed to be going. That's land. And that focus helps them get to where they're supposed to be safely. And that's what we're doing with our kids. So I want to pray for you. Dads, no one's perfect. There's no need to beat yourself up if you haven't done things perfectly. I haven't done things perfectly. There's a lot of baggage I carry with my kids. And I just do my best every day. And, you know, purity in action is not always the most important thing. Purity of heart is. And if you do things with a pure heart, your kids are going to know that. They're going to feel the difference. When you're able to say, yeah, I made a mistake. Listen, that's not right. I shouldn't be like that. Or I shouldn't have answered that way. Hey, let's try that again. They really respond to that well. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for all of the fathers that are here. Lord, I ask that you give them a reality check. Or give them the knowledge of the reality of your love that you have for them. That you're not looking at their failures, you're not looking at their shortcomings where they've fallen short, you're looking at their heart. You know that they love their kids. God, I pray that they have strength this week, they have grace and favor to do what you've called them to do, to be great fathers, to be great leaders in their family. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Have a great Father's Day. do some barbecue for me, because I can't have any. I mean, I can have it, but I won't have it. But have a great day, guys. Love you. See you next time.